5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And we
are twins.
We are twins, yes. One second there, my twin.
Yeah. Yes, my twin.
Yes, thank you all for joining us once again. We're happy to have you here. If you're here and you're an Olsen Twins fan and you've never listened to us before, you may or may not want to keep listening to us.
Who knows?
I don't know.
We'll see.
No, it's with a movie like this and maybe with the other ones, it was fine. Like,
yeah.
It's a nice movie.
Yeah. Once you accept that it's like I'm a 32-year-old man, mm-hmm. this was clearly made for preteen/teenage girls.
Yeah.
A lot of the criticisms you might have kind of fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still there, but at the end of the day, it's like there's a reason it's not connecting with me because it's not for me.
Yeah. So we're kicking off our first ever Septwinber, and we're leading it off with two of the most famous twins. I wonder if it's two twins. It sounds redundant.
Yeah.
With the most famous
set of twins.
The most famous set of twins next to the Del Rubio triplets.
Yeah. I was going to say the two fat bikers in the Guinness Book of World Records, but that's better.
Yes. The most famous twins to ever live, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about some of their more notable movies, straight-to-video stuff from their dual star entertainment production company. Yes. But we're leading off with them.
Plus, I would like to say that I don't think it's very healthy for children to own their own production company. But go ahead.
Well, you know, we got some stuff to say. We got a little bit of stuff to say. But so we're leading off with Passport to Paris, as you can see. And originally, yeah, if you were with us with our show Sucktastic Cinema, and if you've been with us and for one of our themed episodes, Radcast Riffs, you see kind of what we do with quote unquote bad movies and kind of go over the synopses. And I was watching this and I was like, I don't know. But it all started, the way that we write the riffs all started coming back. So this is going to be a Radcast Riffs of sorts.
Yes.
But as you kind of heard us at the beginning, like with some movies with Sucktastic, even though we riff it, that doesn't mean it wasn't an enjoyable movie or we didn't see the appeal.
For the most part, I was like, eh. Like, I kind of texted Steven. I was like, it's not terrible, but it's kind of innocuous. In my brain, in terms of like trying to comedically critique it.
Yeah.
But I could easily see this as being a movie, like if around this time you were the target audience, it's just a movie for a lazy Saturday.
Yeah. And it was just
Sunday, if you'd like,
Sunday.
After church.
Yeah. It was a part of clearly the Olsen twins media juggernaut.
Yeah.
Ever since they were 6 months old, they have been in the public eye.
Yeah.
And starting when they were just, 93 was when Dual Star was created. So they were 7 years old, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
And ever since then, they had a rocket strapped to them and they were just cash cows.
Oh, yeah.
It started with these straight to video movies. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in the connections with like Acclaim and with Deke Entertainment. So you get animated shows, you get video games, you also get anything they can slap their name on, books.
Yep.
Just on the VHS alone, they show like 15 titles.
Oh, yeah.
They had 15 VHSs before this movie even came out.
And you also get two girls who are burnt out before the age of 14.
Oh, yeah. I have so much empathy for them because This is heartbreaking. So Joe Blow, which we've mentioned a few times, yeah. Joe Blow is a channel. It's a channel on YouTube, but it's a company that would do like movie reviews on the internet and stuff like that too. But they did WTF, what the F happened to this person, or what the F happened to the Olsen twins. And the narrator said how them now, like they can't look at pictures of them like when they were younger because they say they wouldn't wish that childhood on anybody.
Which is like... It's just sad, like, mm-hmm. because the people who watched them and the little girls who looked up to them mm-hmm. and who love all their stuff, like, it's got to be sad for them to be like, I look back at this time very fondly mm-hmm. as, like, just innocence and childhood and just the complete opposite for the people who made it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always sad.
Yeah.
They were, like, miserable mm-hmm. or burnt out or they were... By the time this movie came out, they were full-on acting robots.
Yeah.
Like they were just a machine, like a job is a job. There's no mm-hmm. enjoyment kind of thing.
Yeah. And like I said, like in the VHS open, they had two like video series as mm-hmm. You're Invited and then The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, which was like musical stuff. There's like 15 videos.
Yeah.
From the time Dual Star started.
Mm-hmm.
And when they maybe started doing those videos, 93, 94, to 1999, so 5-year period, there's 15 videos.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the press stuff, it's finishing Full House.
Yep.
And just the objectification of the two of them.
Oh, sure.
And not just, you know, they're cute little kids that we can put in movies and get people to go see them, but just weirdos and perverts.
Oh, yeah.
And just predatory people who, I mean, all these, you know, just gross, like shock jock moron, Howard Stern wannabes, and you know, these internet sites who had the countdown to their 18th birthday.
I was gonna say, there were websites devoted to that, which means that these perverts have been sexualizing them since before. It's not like these people are like upstanding people, and then once the clock strikes and it's 18, it's like, okay, now I don't feel. Like, now I feel okay with finding them attractive. Right. You know mm-hmm. that since before they were 18, that now it's like, now they're just legal and, like, I can legally find, you know, it's just...
It's gross.
Just fucking scourge and scum mm-hmm. of society.
Yeah. I mean, you pointed out, and I noticed this too, in the bloopers at the end of this movie, you're like, it seems like everybody's having fun on the set except Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get to how... It's not a great blooper reel. They don't do the whole blooper thing correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, you've got like these people messing up their lines, and they're like, aha, like, and you can like, and they're like, just they're clearly having fun mm-hmm. with it. They're like, ah, shucks, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the Olsen twins, like, there's either a mix of irritation because mm-hmm. they can't get the line right, mm-hmm. frustration, or like kind of embarrassment.
Yeah,
because there were like some bits to where they're like, what's the line again? Okay. And they can't get, they're like, what's the line again? And like one of Mary-Kate or Ashley does that. And then it cuts to the other one kind of like, there's a scene where they have to spill wine
mm-hmm.
and she just like can't get it right. And she's just like really, like you can tell she's kind of embarrassed and mm-hmm. frustrated with herself. And like when one of them can't get, there's another scene where another one can't get the line down and they're just like, like they get, like it's so crazy to look mm-hmm. back, you know, at the time it flies over your head if you're watching it. But looking back, you're like, you can clearly tell that these two
mm-hmm.
are just not having fun.
No.
And it is just, this is a job and they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves mm-hmm. to get it right.
Yeah.
And they can't get it. So they're frustrated and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's just sad.
Yeah. And they're the only ones who, these two 13-year-olds are tasked with pretty much creating content that is going to help support hundreds of people, like as far as like workers go, all these subsidiaries to Dual Star.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are under their label.
Yeah.
And not to mention from a mom, from their dad, you know, from somebody, they're going to hear about you guys aren't staying on. We have a times table.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
Everyone else in this movie, it's just like, it's just another movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very good movie, but you know, it's just another acting job. Whereas they're like, we are the face
mm-hmm.
of this empire.
Yeah.
And it's all on our shoulders
mm-hmm.
and I keep messing up and I like can't get it right and stuff like that. And you can just tell that they're just not having fun.
Yeah. And it's all this mixed with the typical, like, hormonal teenager stuff. So it's one of the things where now I think, at least at the end, the Joe Blow video was like 4 months ago. So at least at the end of that, I think one of them just had a baby too.
Yeah.
But they've gone through, you know, what could be considered some relatively messy stuff. But at the end of it, they stopped with the movie. Like, they haven't made a movie or made appearances in movies in years. But they are like,
they're running a very successful fashion empire.
Yeah, which great for they essentially took their name back.
That's what they wanted to do was like fashion and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So they took their name, their persona back. Yeah. They're doing what they want to do. They're still making millions of dollars.
Yeah. And they've won awards. Very well respected in the fashion. It's not just like how it could have seemed when they were kids, like just smacking the Olsen twins' face on just any cheap fashion thing that comes out. No, they like oversee everything and it's like award-winning stuff. Yeah.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they continue to live happy lives. Mm-hmm. They've been through some shit.
Oh yeah.
But I'd say right now they're one of the success stories with child stars.
Yeah.
So let's get into Passport
to
Paris, because like I said,
these are things I'm sure will come up again today throughout this whole month.
We have three more movies we're doing. It's been a while since we've done a riff style
but on with the fun style.
Yes, so Passport to
you're
Paris,
invited.
Yes, you're invited to join us, the Booger Boys.
We are the Booger Boys.
We are gonna start our own line of merchandise called Booger Boys with a Z. And our duffel bags are gonna be the hottest seller this Christmas.
Yep. that's our tagline for all of our products. That's just our general tagline. Yes. Our duffel bags will be big come this Christmas.
Even if we don't sell duffel bags.
Yep.
So Passport to Paris, and those of you familiar with this style of with episode for us know it may take a little bit. So Passport to Paris, released November 9th, 1999, directed by Alan Meter, I don't know.
No one's better than Meter.
Exactly. Starring Mary-Kate Olsen as Melanie Porter, Ashley Olsen as Allison Porter, and I will say, twins don't have,
in case we didn't mention it before, we are fraternal twins,
like the Olsen twins. Yeah. But with I don't know if people really think this, but twins don't have this sixth sense to like be able to tell other twins apart. I don't know which one's which.
No. This is the first I'm hearing of that superpower.
Yeah.
Is that we can tell other twins apart.
I don't know. Maybe that's just a thing that I think people think about twins. All I know is like it doesn't like take one
it's
to know
real.
One.
Yeah.
So I can't tell either one of them apart.
Yeah.
But Mary-Kate is Melanie and Ashley is Allison Porter. Peter White is Grandpa Edward. Matt Winston is Jeremy Bluff. Yvonne Cio as Brigitte. Brocker Way as Jean. Ethan Peck as Michelle. With Doran Clark as Barbara Porter. And Matt McCoy as Jack Porter, who I cannot see in anything without thinking of Lloyd Braun.
Yeah, exactly.
From Seinfeld. At least the second Lloyd Braun.
Yeah.
Because there's been two Lloyd Brauns.
Yeah.
The second Lloyd Braun, who in the Serenity Now episode.
Yeah. Or, geez, Serenity Now.
Did you see Elaine today?
Yeah. This is perfect. This is something a perfectly sane person would eat.
Yes. I couldn't see him in any scene without thinking
Serenity
of,
Now. Insanity later.
Yeah, exactly. Thinking of something.
Great job, Lloyd!
It's like, you must really like gum. But it's I can't see him without seeing
Lloyd Braun.
There's no box office because outside of a couple theatrical release stuff, all of the Dual Star stuff was straight to video.
That's our wheelhouse.
Yeah. The VHS. What was on the VHS? So The Wizard of Oz, new on video, digitally remastered, and behind-the-scenes special hosted by Angela Lansbury.
Huh.
So when VHS started having special features, quote-unquote, on them, and this was like the 60th anniversary of Wizard of Oz. Next, Jack Frost on VHS and DVD, and it isn't Michael Keaton turning whimsically into a snowman by some sort of spell and then turns back. The trailer kind of gives that impression. No, yeah. Michael Keaton's character dies.
Yeah.
And he turns into a snowman. It's a sad movie.
I thought you were going to say, because you're like, in it isn't Michael Keaton, like you were describing, like saying it's not the Michael Keaton Jack Frost. I thought you were going to say it's the horror movie
Jack
Frost.
No, sorry. It's a Michael Keaton movie that it isn't about him whimsically turning into a snowman, and then like he turns like Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then he turns back when he sees the error of his ways.
Or the shaggy dog.
Or the shaggy dog. Sure. Like, no, Michael Keaton's character. Spoiler alert: Michael Keaton's character dies in that movie.
Yeah,
it's a sad movie. The Iron Giant coming to VHS and DVD. Next is the whole swath of Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
Hawking stuff.
Hawking their wares.
Yes. Mary-Kate and Ashley videos.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Bazaar.
Yeah. So starting with Mary-Kate and Ashley videos, You're Invited, their adventure series, and their movies, all from Dual Star, which we mentioned, including two new Mary-Kate and Ashley videos, Going to the Mall, or Going to the Mall of America, and Costume Party. So those are two new You're Invited videos. Their new Christmas CD, Cool Yule.
So wait, they did You're Invited even until they were this age in this movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because when I think of You're Invited, I think when they were little girls.
Yeah, I think like, 2000 was like when they stopped with the You're Invited videos. But no, yeah, they were even doing You're Invited videos up until here. I feel like it was an old advertisement, because I think actually maybe they stopped in like 1997, because I feel like this was, because they said their new movie, Billboard Dad, and I was like, Billboard Dad came out like a year or two before this. But next is an advertisement where Ashley is bugging Mary-Kate a bunch, but her face is buried in a book. You want yours in a book? Check out the Olsen Twins' Two of a Kind book series, The New Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, and their Valentine's Day book.
So they were authors as well.
Well, they didn't write these books. And then an advertisement for American Airlines. Not to mention they had two shows after Full House.
So Little Time
and Two of a Kind.
Yeah, yeah.
So the movie opens over like text, like the credits scrolling over like pictures, like a collage of pictures that look like they were taken during the production.
Yep.
And it kind of leads the audience to be like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Like, but maybe it's just like, oh, who are these people? How does this end up?
Yeah.
Instead of like spoiler
stuff.
But there's a charm to the girls' narration at the beginning, laying out how they see junior high, what they put importance in, like passing notes in class, sleeping in class, gabbing with friends, and crushing on boys.
Yeah.
And then there are these cheeky lower thirds that illustrate how they see certain people or situations, like these two airhead cheerleaders that they have, the lower thirds of brainless and clueless.
Yeah.
You can tell...
made me want to watch Clueless.
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, the movie opens with them saying, this is junior high. And it's supposed to illustrate that they're two...
It's the center of the world.
It's the center of the world for them. And they have a small, like, understanding of the greater world out there. All they know is the mall and talking on the phone.
Because they're 13-year-old girls.
Exactly. You can tell some of the parts more than others that are written by out-of-touch adults. Like two characters saying, let's nab some lime slime and green jello.
Yes.
Or, I nailed her with a bounce-bounce in the numbers lab, which I hit her with an eraser in math class.
Yeah.
Which that's done in
not
kind
a thing.
But the way that they show that is kind of in a silly way. They're like, and English class. And it's showing like this... you know, teenager vernacular that's indecipherable to anybody other than teenagers, so they put them in subtitles.
Yeah.
It's like, haha.
Yeah, I
chuckle,
had to
chuckle.
Pence mince my port on my pape.
Yep.
I had to write my report on my paper with a pencil.
Yep. That's a good one.
Thank you.
So back at home, their parents think the girls have no culture and the world is incredibly small. All they care about is yakking on the phone, pool parties, the mall, and so they book them a trip to Paris.
You know, yakking on the phone, pool parties, the mall, all You're Invited series.
Exactly.
Sleepovers, pizza. Yeah.
Some things I...
Selling their brother.
Exactly. 25 cents.
Yeah.
They'll solve the crime by dinner time. They'll solve the crime of the person kidnapping the brother for dinner time.
Yeah.
A couple of things I skipped because, again, I didn't mean to write this out like a riff. Like after these parts happen. But there are these two like junior high guys that like they have cute boys. They want to
Herman and Dean. I don't remember
something
their names.
Like that. Yeah. Herman Dean.
Herman Dean
and his brother Little Abner.
Yeah,
that they want those boys to ask them to the dance.
Yeah.
And there's all that stuff. So again, it just shows their narrow focus.
Yeah.
So instead, their parents have a discussion, and their parents book them a trip to Paris.
Passport to parents.
Yeah. Passport from parents.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now,
I'm no world traveler. I've never been outside the United States. I've never had to acquire a passport. Mm-hmm. They just show up in the room and they're like, here's your passports.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a whole process.
There is.
And you need to be there to get a photo for your passport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then even after that, sometimes you have to wait weeks.
Yeah.
Months even.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah.
Could be their connections with their grandpa.
It's true. Yeah. Which there might have been questions after you see the scene to where they're like, you're going to Paris.
Yeah.
Like, how did the parents just book 2 round trip tickets, hotel accommodations, and oh, how they are okay with letting their 12-year-old children travel and trek through Paris on their own?
All questions I had before the big reveal.
So they kind of shoehorn the fact that their grandpa is the U.S. ambassador to Paris. This info they could have put in when their parents surprised them with the trip to Paris. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how grandpa is the ambassador to Paris?
Yeah.
Well, he said you could stay with them for the next week.
Yeah.
You know, when the parents are talking, they're like, they need to see the world. My father, he's the ambassador to Paris. Why don't we book them a trip?
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of bits of expositions are improperly placed
or
put really late in the movie, like the stuff with their own grandma.
Yeah. They're going to try and depict this relationship that their grandpa is a sourpuss, and they have very little connection with them.
Yeah, which he's not really. In spots, a little bit.
Sometimes I think the writers forgot that he was a sourpuss, so they put in stuff.
Or they forgot about him in general.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of character development that happens really, really fast. Almost like, oh, shit, we forgot. We got to do stuff with the grandpa. Spent a lot of time filming montages.
Yeah, I noticed that too. So I added some stuff for the grandpa later on in the notes here. Stay tuned. So the girl's flight is depicted through a computer-generated plane traveling over a CGI globe.
Stopped off in England for a bathroom break.
Exactly.
This is a riff I had during the movie.
Yes. Very nice.
Thank you.
The girls talk about how being in prison would be better than being with their grandpa, and comments similar to that. The girls say, look at that. They're in a cab now in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, look at that cute boy, and take a picture of someone on a moped with a giant helmet on.
I was like, I can't see his face. And I feel like they used up their entire roll of film just taking pictures inside of the cab.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you they went and got them developed. And they're like, these pictures suck.
Uh-huh. Because
that's how it was back then, kiddos.
Exactly. Well, also in the cab, one of the girls says, do you think Grandpa will have time for us? And the other one's like, I hope so. Which I was like, I thought they thought Grandpa was a drag.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole time in the cab, they're like, oh, there's the Eiffel Tower. There's the Eiffel Tower. There's a famous...
Arc de Triomphe.
There's a fancy shopping district, and they're taking pictures and being tourists.
McDonald's.
Yeah. They arrive at the embassy, and they meet their punching bag for the movie Jeremy.
I like Jeremy.
I do, too. In the embassy, Grandpa greets the girls and introduces the staff they'll all have various comedic encounters with throughout the movie, like Francois, the butler, and Henri, the cook. Yeah.
It's kind of a Princess Bride touch to some of the
stuff.
Princess Diaries.
Princess Diaries. Princess Diaries,
yes. Touch to
a little bit.
It definitely are the tropes of like kind of stuffy people who these girls have like a positive influence on, teaching them how to chillax.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple scenes of that. Yeah. Grandpa says Jeremy will take them around during the week, which is obviously the first Jeremy's hearing about it, and he hopes the girls will represent America well. Grandpa hopes the girls will represent America well.
Yeah.
And I think they've already left a bad impression with all the touristy gawking and blathering they did in the cab earlier.
Yeah.
Because French people don't like American tourists.
Nope.
As I've said, as a French person who hates American tourists.
Yeah, exactly. All my time's in France.
Yes. The girls get shown the room and instantly start trashing it and rocking out to loud music like they're Motley Crue or something. Grandpa's none too pleased, and he goes upstairs and scolds the girls for being typical American teenage rabble. At dinner, some traditional food is served, like escargot. The girls realize it's snails, so in defiance, they fling it onto the butler.
Screw you! I didn't know you girls liked snails.
Yeah, it wasn't really in defiance. They're disgusted further when Henri the cook brings out sheep liver, frog legs, and calf's brains.
Yeah.
That night, the girls' shared tummy is rumbling, so they order a pizza. and make Henri pay for it. We also see Allie knows a little French when she says half sausage and half pepperoni. That's the thing too, is it kind of goes in and out on how well Allie
her
knows
French.
French
is a little muddled, which is it lends itself to kind of comedic things, but it's not one of her characteristics long enough.
And it lends itself to some parts where she does it well, and then she does it poorly, and then she's like translating at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, pick a lane.
Yeah. I will say these little girls are a little spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of bratty in some spots.
Right.
But it's really, I mean, I was reading reviews to where no doubt it was grown adults saying, oh, they're brats and they're spoiled. And one even said they're tramps. And I was like,
Jesus.
What?
Oh, my God.
No, they're not.
No.
they're boy crazy 13-year-olds. They're not mm-hmm. tramps.
Yeah. These movies are for boy crazy 13-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's clearly some sort of annoyed adult
yeah.
that chose to watch this movie. Yeah. So I don't know why it's their fault.
Yeah. At least we can realize we did it for a podcast show. And
yeah,
we're
exactly.
like, you know, yeah, we're 32-year-old men. And I mean, we've even when we were little boys.
Take like, what we say with a grain yeah, of salt.
This, we were never the demographic.
Also, it's clear why Mary-Kate and Ashley were so popular. They're pretty damn charismatic.
Yeah, I mean
they're
not
winning
bad.
Any Academy Awards,
yeah.
but they're not bad actors.
They're charming enough.
Yeah.
And I say it wasn't for us. We rented the You're Invited to
yeah.
the sleepover video a couple times and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We've watched a couple Mary-Kate and those things were on, but
yeah.
you know, hey, whatever. Twins gotta support twins.
We gotta support each other.
But as a whole
they need our support.
These movies
yeah.
yes, these move financially. These movies weren't these movies weren't for us.
Mr. Subliminal financially.
The next day, Jeremy finds out how big of a pain in the ass the girls are going to be. And some of the editing is odd. Like when the girls are being rascals and lock Jeremy out of the car,
yeah.
it freeze frames on them mashing their faces against the window and then does a flip transition like it was edited on Windows Movie Maker.
yeah.
Once they they're going to the Louvre.
Yeah.
Once they reach the Louvre, the girls shoot.
Is it the Louvre or the Louvre?
I always heard the Louvre.
Yeah.
But then I heard people say the Louvre, like educated
are they
people.
French people who say it?
That no, it's dirty rotten Americans.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it how I know it.
All right.
Once they reach the Louvre, the girls shoot out of the car talking about wanting rotten baguettes and almost get flattened by two delivery guys on mopeds.
France.
Oh, France. They both are incensed until they see it's two cute French boys.
No, two cute Parisian
yeah.
pals.
I will say if it were two middle-aged fat men, I'm sure they would have them put in a prison camp.
Yep.
Allie notices the flower shop they're delivering for and commits that to memory. Jeremy has Jeremy has a stick up his butt, and the girls talk about the cute boys. Since they shot very little footage in Paris on account of not obtaining permits,
yep.
the girls' trip to the Louvre consists of them walking in front of a green screen and posed onto another computer-generated background.
Which looked terrible.
It did. I will say, I will call shit on it, but it does look terrible, and it's hokey as shit, but they do use this device to where it shows that there's so much they've been there
yeah.
for hours and they're getting bored to where they look excited looking around and then kind of the footage warps and
yeah.
then they're looking real haggard and like
yeah.
tired. So I'm like, okay, that kind of makes up for
to which
it.
Mary-Kate and Ashley didn't have to do much acting.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
That. I literally have a note that says the scene in the Louvre was done in front of a green screen, which is either a terrible production decision or a self-aware creative choice. And I mean, it was because they
yeah.
couldn't film inside
yeah.
the Louvre, but I'm like, maybe they're aware of this fact, and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, haha, instead of like, let's just film in front of any art museum. They're like, let's do it in front of a green screen,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it'd be funny.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's probably just giving it too much credit.
Yeah. It also begs the question, where was all that dual star money going to? Because sure, it was going to the Olsen twins, but we know their parents were spending a lot of that probably.
Yeah. Here's a word of advice for all you parents. Don't make your children the breadwinners of the household.
Exactly. They don't know how to deal with complicated emotions or carrying the integrity of the entire family on their shoulders.
A lot of adults don't know how to do that
yeah.
either.
So don't do that. Don't
yeah.
be a stage parent.
Yeah, exactly.
So also, I'm like, where did all the dual star money go if you can't obtain proper permits to film in Paris?
Yeah. yeah.
Whatever.
They're too busy going towards the Mary-Kate and Ashley lipstick line.
Yeah, exactly. At lunch, Jeremy's on the phone talking about the lipstick line. Jeremy's on the phone, and the girls are rightfully irritated because they speak very little French and need someone to translate their food order. Jeremy walks off, and Allie orders a drink with what little French she knows. Melanie says her sister is good at French, but it's revealed she ordered fish on accident.
Oops.
During the mishap, the girls are befriended by an eavesdropping supermodel, Brigitte. They bug out after realizing Brigitte is famous, and they all bond with one another.
Brigitte says Paris is
they're famous too.
Yes, hey, we're famous too. Yeah. Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Brigitte says Paris is the most beautiful city and has the best looking guys. Brigitte then says she has to jet because she has a dress fitting for a photo shoot she has later in the movie. She says that exactly.
Later in the movie.
I will see you later with Jeremy. See you girls later in the movie with Jeremy.
With my love interest.
We've never met before. anyway.
Smell you later.
Because French people smell.
Yes.
Allie, who speaks French sometimes, is passable. Others, it's bad at it. Like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot I made that note. More odd editing are these intermittently slowed down shots.
Yeah.
Like when the girls walk out of a cathedral looking dejected.
Yeah. I was like, this is a really weird editing choice.
Yeah. But they walk out of a cathedral dejected, much like many people do after Sunday Mass.
Yeah. They couldn't find the hunchback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess it was Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That evening at dinner, Allie pulls a jinx on Melanie, and Grandpa is confused, which that shows up in the movie multiple
times. Yeah, it's like
a
running joke or running gag.
Yeah. Kind of. Allie says, in America, if someone is jinxed, they can't talk until someone says their name. It's been signed into law by Bill Clinton, and failure to uphold it is punishable by death.
Yep.
Jeremy starts asking Edward if he read some proposal he submitted to him about something or other. It's about some like water treatment thing. Point when I wrote that, I forgot.
Grandpa's like, pish posh, Jeremy. Go do something else.
Yes, go clean the toilets.
Yeah.
The two start discussing the matter, with Edward suggesting Jeremy stay in his lane. The whole time they're doing that, Allie is tormenting the silenced Melanie by saying words that rhyme with her name. Jeremy gets fed up and yells, Melanie! He then composes himself in time for Edward to shoot him down again.
Yep.
His harebrained reforms won't be needed on Saturday, which is an important dinner with a Parisian bigwig. The girls find it funny they're being served grape juice with dinner, but realize it isn't Welch's. Melanie spits her wine on the butler because she's a wild American animal.
Oh, yeah. The blood of Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. The girls decided to hatch a scheme to where they order flowers for delivery close to when they'll be leaving for lunch the next day. When the next day arrives, the two delivery boys show up to the embassy right as Jeremy says the girls best get to Stepan, so they make their lunch reservations. Melanie and Allie greet the two, who introduce themselves as Jean and Michel. They both speak English okay, but the joke with Jean is he bungles simple English phrases.
Michel is Ethan Peck, who is the grandson of Gregory Peck.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Michelle is close to the name that the Olsen twins played
this is
in
true.
Full House.
And is kind of the way Uncle Jesse pronounces it when he does his Michelle's Crying.
Michelle's Crying.
Song.
A song we never hear again.
Nope.
Uncle Jesse, why don't you record some of the songs you wrote for your nieces instead of just wondering, oh, how am I going to write a song and then you cover a Beach Boys song.
Yeah, exactly. Also, why wasn't John Stamos in any of these movies? Huh?
He's too busy.
He's too busy.
Anyway.
He's too busy, everyone. Steven just said it.
Hobnobbing with his famous friends.
Yeah. I will say, they aren't tramps, like that review said, but they are scamps.
Scamps.
They are kind of mischievous little scamps.
They're rascals.
Yeah. But that's part of the charm.
Yes, which they were also in The Little Rascals in 1994.
Yes,
briefly.
It's very true.
Are you sure?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Giggling, gossiping. So, Jean bungles English phrases. That's his shtick throughout the movie.
Jeremy wonders who the blue hell the jock sniffers are, and the girls say they're their lunch dates.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy protests, but the girls say, too late, Jay Bear. At the restaurant, the guys are wooing the gals, and Jeremy's breaking breadsticks. Just like that.
Which, there's an episode of Full House where Michelle stayed up late to watch the Arsenio Hall show.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. The connections all come back around. We don't need John Stamos. We have these Full House references.
Yes.
At the restaurants, the guys are wooing the gals.
Yes.
And Jeremy's breaking breadsticks because he's fed up with the teenagers. Michelle says to Melanie how he and Jean are in a band. The tape heads, fiddlesticks.
Yeah, I think the tape heads. I think that's what
they're
called.
No, it's not fiddlesticks. It's the tape sticks.
They're in a band. Their name doesn't matter.
They're in a band. And they work for Jean's family's flower shop so they can get money for instruments. Jean continues to flub his understanding of English. Jeremy excuses himself, and the waiter shows up to take orders. Allie says she wants the un poulet sauce on the side, which is chicken in French.
Yes.
You should have gotten the un jambon,
which is ham. I only know that because of you, my twin brother.
Yes, they're eating at the Debarquement airplane terminal.
Steven's a bit of a Frenchman himself.
I'm a bit of a Frenchman myself.
Yeah.
The waiter says, She wants chicken with sauce on the side. The waiter says she can't.
He's like, no can do.
Yeah, she can't have the sauce on the side. The cook doesn't make it that way. Out of nowhere, Jean has an outburst at the waiter just because Allie can't have her order the how she wants it.
Yeah, he's like,
which is very uncharacteristic because he doesn't do that at all. Because
he speaks actual French, not gibberish.
Yeah, exactly. That too. But he doesn't have another outburst.
Right.
To which that outburst, I was like, oh.
He's gonna be hothead.
Yeah, like these. I expected like the rug to like a big reveal for these dudes to be just like jerks.
French perverts.
Yeah, perverts. Yeah, or like they're romancing other
right
girls, but they're not.
No, so they're just
fun boys.
Yeah, he just has a steroid outburst.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's so, a roid rage.
He's injecting American English into his blood.
Yep. Jumpin' Jeff.
Jumpin' Jeff. But yeah, it's a random outburst because mm-hmm. it never comes back around.
Yeah. So the schlub waiter walks away with his tail between his legs after being yelled at by a kid. Yeah. Jean and Michel.
Trey, embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Jean and Michel then run off with the girls to show them the real Paris.
Which is never good.
No, exactly.
It's going to take him under some bridge where their uncle is doing drugs.
The catacombs.
Something. Yeah, I'm going to show you.
Let us go get lost in the catacombs.
It's like when they say, hey, you want to go, let's go to the real party. And it usually never ends well.
It's never a good thing. There are several moments in this movie where I was like, outside of the Mary-Kate and Ashley dual star movie world, this is a very dangerous situation.
Yeah. Why don't we take you to that van to show you the real Paris? Yeah.
So the real Paris, isn't that how the movie Taken happened?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
I've never seen it.
So the
I have seen it. Yeah. You haven't.
Yeah.
You're a loser.
I have seen it. I've seen Taken.
Oh, well, you're still a loser.
I know.
I know.
So the real Paris includes running and twirling in the streets, grabbing baguettes, because of course, pointing at French landmarks, running in between trees, sword fighting with the baguettes in front of the Eiffel Tower, and running towards the camera. You know, French things.
Yeah. All set to a pretty good song.
I will say, they use it twice. But the song, I'm like, you know, this is very befitting of the time period, like the way the song sounds. And I feel like if I were watching this movie as a little girl, I would connect this song to a movie that I like very much.
Yeah, of course. And it's not from a band you'd ever hear from again.
No, but it sounds very much of the time.
Yeah.
Which I'm always for.
Oh,
anything
absolutely.
That's a time capsule like that, I'm for it.
Yep.
So Michelle waxes poetic. Now they're on a bridge. Michelle waxes poetic to Melanie about actual art. So not all these museums they're going to.
And this you're already throwing me off with the whole Michelle thing.
Oh.
Just because I think of them as Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Tanner.
Yeah.
And Allie and Jean eat food from a cart. They all have been gallivanting so much that
an abandoned cart that's just laying around.
Yeah, exactly.
Much like a trash can.
Yes. They all have been gallivanting so much, the teens lose track of time. Because also in the restaurant, when Jeremy shows back up, the waiter gives him notes saying, you know, going out with the boys, be back at the embassy at 5.
Yeah.
And he's frustrated. Like, he's...
Yeah.
He's...
annoyed.
Understandably frustrated.
Rather than go out and look for him, he just stands in front of the embassy until 5 o'clock.
Yeah, doesn't go inside because he's like, Jeremy, where are the girls?
Yeah, exactly.
So with 15 minutes until they have to be back at the embassy, the girls hop on the mopeds and race across the city, only with the slightest bit of urgency.
Yes.
They then rag on Jeremy for rightfully being upset for ditching him, and not in an Olsen Twins movie world, potentially getting killed by two French strangers.
Yes.
However, the girls help Jeremy's rep with the ambassador by rattling off some educational stuff and say it's all thanks to Jeremy and the enlightening experiences he's been coordinating.
All things that you can learn in the first few pages of a book about France.
Yep, exactly. And Jeremy looks, pleased, and he looks like he's warming up to the girls.
Yeah.
The girls start having second thoughts about giving J-Man grief because they're starting to feel bad for him. They then mess with the itinerary for the next day in order to cross paths with the boys, so they must not feel all that bad for him.
But they're going to set they're surrounded so they can get what they want.
I was going to say
he can get what he wants.
Yeah, but then
it's not like he says I want a girlfriend, but they can throw him a bone
here. Switch that, a girlfriend. Yeah, throw him a bone. but then it comes back to like
so they can get something out of it. True. So it's a give and take, but then it gets back to what the girls want.
But it ends up okay. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to that part here in a second.
Jeremy's going to bone a supermodel.
Yes. The girls change it to where they end up at Brigitte's photo shoot. The girls say they know her, but Jeremy calls bullshit. Then Brigitte calls out to them, and Jeremy is gobsmacked. Jeremy is also smitten once he sees Brigitte ain't no pinhead.
No way.
And they have a lot in common when it comes to diplomat nonsense.
Yeah. Translation, she's smart and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy does the Macarena because there's not enough silliness in this movie.
Which he completely botches as if it wasn't the biggest dance in the world 2 years prior.
For God's sake, Al Gore was doing the Macarena.
Yeah. It must be trademarked.
Exactly.
The actual moves. You can say the Macarena, but you can't do the Macarena.
It's like how you can get away with, quote unquote, copying another song by changing a few notes here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the melody goes here in the original, but we go, you know, we do it this way in this copy.
Yep.
The girls then enact the next part of their plan and convince Jeremy to take them to where the boys will be waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
They say, please, 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 and Jeremy caves when Brigitte bats them lashes at him.
Mm-hmm.
After meeting up with the boys, Michelle and Mel continue, because Melanie also says, you call me Mel.
Yeah.
And Allie's Allison, but she should have been called Al. And Mel and Al.
Call me Al.
And call me Mel.
Dual Star Entertainment.
First presents Al and Mel.
Al and Mel.
When the Olsen twins have a movie where they open a mechanic's garage.
I'm surprised they didn't do something like that.
I don't know.
I'm sure at one point one of their characters was big on cars and stuff.
Yeah. Because
they try to do the thing to where they're very distinct.
Yeah, one of them likes
sports. Except in this movie.
I think they try to make it seem like, well,
she likes fashion and she likes music.
Yeah, but like they both can like music. So
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know why that's the difference.
It's not, they aren't characteristics that are really tread upon much.
Mm-hmm. But it's more prominent in other movies, like
Switching Goals. One of them's a jock, and one of them is like kind of prissy and likes fashion and stuff.
After meeting with the boys, Michelle and Mel continue to connect, and Michelle talks about how his father wants him to work at his meat business and give up music because there are already enough musicians, and music hasn't been good since the Beatles.
Exactly.
Melanie says...
Music hasn't been good since that toddler Jordy.
Yeah, exactly. This is France.
My favorite song, Du tout de très bébé.
Yes.
Translation, it's tough being a baby.
Yeah, or since the hot rapper MC Solar.
Yeah, exactly.
Melanie says, nonsense. You got to follow your dreams and all that junk. Allie and Jean connect further, and Jean does some two-bit stand-up act about the difference between French girls and American girls.
So two-bit stand-up act.
Allie is charmed by it, and Jean should feel lucky that at least one person is. Also on the bridge, Jeremy and Brigitte are getting closer, and Jeremy is wowed by how Brigitte is beautiful and smart. All the love interests depart, including Brigitte and Jeremy making a date for the next night. The girls approach him while he's on cloud nine and show their true intentions of hooking him up with a supermodel so they can get something out of him. Flip transition to the kitchen at the embassy, and Jeremy's lurking in the dark with a bag. The girls startle him and ask if he's got the stuff.
Yeah.
He says affirmative, and it's and it's revealed...
Starts doing the robot.
And it's revealed J-Man has a bag of 1999 Mickey D's.
Yes.
The order is all there except the girls' milkshakes. Right as he says he ran out of money, Henri catches the dirty Americans eating fast food in his refined kitchen. The girls tell him to have an open mind about fast food, and he says, au contraire, they're two to talk. They constantly gripe about his cooking.
Two to talk sounds like another show they would have had.
Exactly.
They'd be like reporters or have a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should call this show Two to Talk.
Yeah, we're changing the name right now.
Two to Talk. Welcome to Two to Talk. I'm Steven.
And I want to change the name back.
Welcome back to the Radcast, everybody.
Yes, I'm Matt.
Yes. Hello, Matt. So
We are twins.
So they challenge on the girls challenge Henri to eat a burger and fries, and Henri says only if they eat his cooking. Henri attempts to eat his burger with a knife and fork. This part confused me.
Yeah.
Not confused. It just was one of those things where like I was like,
that's not why it's called a hamburger. Yeah.
Yeah. And Allie said, it's a hamburger. You eat it with your hands, hamburger. And I was like,
it's not a hamburger.
The joke doesn't make sense if they're making her think it's called a hand burger.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. That part I was like, what?
He's French and dumb.
Yes. Allie takes a bite and she says it's good. Good food.
It's good. Good. This is good grub.
Henri says, I told you, as he stuffs his face with fries drenched in ketchup.
Mm.
Or as they make Henri say, catch, catch, squeeze, squeeze.
Yeah.
Whatever. next
whatever.
We see Jeremy and the girls enjoying milkshake.
I thought he didn't have money for milkshakes.
tut tut.
Oh yes.
The the girls ask Jeremy why he sticks around if he hates his job. He says he doesn't hate his job, he just gets frustrated. He feels like he has a lot to say, but their grandpa doesn't listen. The girls tell him to get his voice against their G-paw and tell the old fogey he's got something to say. The next morning, Grandpa notices his staff are all shaking their asses to the girls' music, and Henri serves them eggs and fries, or frites.
Frites.
For breakfast. Steak frites.
Yeah.
Steak fries.
Chicken fries.
Yes. Poulet frites. Frites de la poulet.
Yeah.
Frite fetish. Now Burger King.
Yeah.
Jeremy greets the girls at the car, and all of them are now besties. He rips up the day's agenda and asks what the girls want to do.
They say McDonald's.
Let's go back to McDonald's. They say shopping. And Jeremy says he doesn't do shopping. Then Brigitte pops her head out from the driver's seat.
I do.
Car and says, oui, I do.
Oui, I do.
All the ladies shop during a montage.
Shop till they drop.
Yeah, they don't drop, though.
Yeah.
The girls keep running out of the stores to show Brigitte their stuff, and no one is stopping them. You can't just run out of the places with product without paying.
Yeah, exactly.
Back at the embassy, the girls try to sneak out to see the boys, but Jeremy and Brigitte catch them. They try to pull a fast one, but Jeremy catches them in their lie. The girls plead with J-Man, and he covers for the group, but they have to meet at a certain spot in 3 hours. Mm. Brigitte and Jeremy on their way out to a date.
Yes.
The teenagers arrive at a roof of a building for dinner. Back with Brigitte and Jeremy, they're lamenting about past relationships, and Jeremy says they're just a couple of losers at love.
Yes.
Brigitte then says it takes effort to make relationships work, which is very true.
Very true.
It's like nobody's good at relationships, but it takes effort to make them work.
It's very true.
Yeah, true in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They then arrive at an ice cream cart, or gelato, or gelatio, whatever. It's ice cream.
Chocolate.
It's all
He's
ice
like, nah,
cream.
More of a vanilla guy myself. Yeah. She's like, but I love chocolate. Yeah,
Brigitte,
like, take the hint, Jeremy.
Yeah, Brigitte says chocolate, but Jeremy says he's vanilla, or prefers vanilla.
Right.
Brigitte gives him those bedroom eyes, and he caves and orders a chocolate for
smart,
them to share.
Smart man. Yep.
Back at the rooftop, the girls tell the boys this is the best time of their lives, and they're invited to a dance. Just then, a security guard
We'll do a little dance. Do a little dance. Makes you a better dancer.
The security guard shows up and says,
well, what's a rave?
What's ecstasy?
Zach Galifianakis live at the Purple Onion. Mm-hmm. Still one of my favorite routines.
So what's ecstasy?
So makes you a better dancer.
Broke God's law. Man's law. Murphy's law. Law and order.
it's hysterical.
Yep.
But back to something that's less hysterical. Because a security guard shows up and says the group are trespassing. Michelle says,
no trespassing.
Yeah.
I can speak French.
Yeah, very good. Michelle gets indignant about there not being a sign. The guard pulls one of the girls' jackets off the no trespassing sign.
Oopsie. Which there was no scene of her like, yahoo, like throwing the jacket.
Or they walk by a French sign that says no trespassing and she puts her jacket on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Because when he takes the jacket off, I was like, did he plant that jacket there to trick people
of the security guard?
Because he's so fucking bored.
Yes. Let's just say yes.
Yeah.
Dual Star Entertainment presents The Bored Security Guard.
Yeah, it's a short, like a Pixar short.
Exactly. Many Academy Awards.
Yeah, exactly.
At the meeting spot, Brigitte and Jeremy are concerned the teens haven't shown up yet. Jeremy eats shit and decides they have to tell the ambassador. Back at the embassy, Edward is also their grandpa.
Yeah.
Edward is dressing Jeremy down about losing his granddaughters. Just then, they hear a police siren outside. Edward, Jeremy, and Brigitte rush outside to see the popo dropping off the girls. The girls try to make a joke, but their charm has run out. In his office, Edward is reprimanding the girls for being so careless. Jeremy tries to jump in to defend the twins, but Edward tells him to shut his trap, and he'll deal with him later. Jeremy snaps back that he'll be dealt with now. He tells Edward how great his granddaughters are, and all they've tried to do is have a life experience in Paris. But Edward has been too busy to pay any attention to them. Jeremy then calls Edward out on his negligence when it comes to a water treatment proposal he put on Edward's desk, but he never read. Jeremy tells Edward he can take his job and shove it and walks out. Grandpa Edward then tells the girls, look what you did. That guy quit because of you two.
you can't believe it.
You can't see your boyfriends anymore.
Yeah.
In the room, the girls hear rocks being thrown at their window. They look down and see it's Michelle and Jean. The boys apologize, and the girls say thanks, but we're grounded until we have to fly back to the States.
And also, how did you get on the premises?
He said, the security guards are nice guys, or something like
Marines,
that.
Yeah, Marines, yeah. Va va voom. Hey, okay, USA.
Okay, USA.
Bloodsport.
Yep. We can't go to the dance with you, so find two French girls. Yeah. The boys say, nonsense. If they don't go with them, they'll go with each other. And if they're having second thoughts on that, they'll go alone with each other.
Yeah.
The girls are appreciative of the gesture, but there's another catch. They inform the two chuckleheads they can't see them anymore. The boys are disappointed and say it was fun. So long. Maybe we'll see you two in the next movie.
Yeah.
This whole time, Grandpa was watching this all play out from his office window, and it cracks a smile at young love.
Yeah, it's literally a flip switch.
Right.
Which, I mean, like, obviously the movie's got to focus on them.
Yeah.
But definitely needed more scenes of Grandpa kind of softening
right.
a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe a smirk here and there of his office staff kind of cutting loose or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe they like, all right. Maybe they're like goofy or whatever. And they're like, bye, Grandpa. You know, and it's like, kind of shakes his head.
Girls.
Yeah.
Teenagers.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there's just a very much flip switch.
Yeah.
And this movie's not even 90 minutes.
No, it's 87 minutes.
Yeah.
Which it's a quick watch. If you absolutely want to watch these movies, you have to pay $4 to rent them on Amazon.
Yeah, they're not streaming anywhere for free.
So honestly, you can just listen to these episodes in our synopses if you want. But again, if you absolutely feel like you have to watch it, you need to rent it on Amazon.
Yeah. But good. Grandpa's a good guy now.
Yeah. His attitude has changed because the next morning, Grandpa's carrying two gift boxes. He takes them up to the girls' room, enters just as the girls are reading Jeremy's water treatment proposal. They hide it so Grandpa doesn't see it. G-Paw sets the boxes down and apologizes for the way he acted the night before. He sits the girls down and starts saying he understands the allure of Paris.
Here's where I had a massive problem. Mm-hmm. Please go ahead.
Okay. It may come up when I read further here. That's where he met their grandma, and he starts telling the story about how he was stationed in Paris during WW2.
Mm-hmm.
He was a soldier, and she was a nurse. I mean, obviously, he was a soldier.
Yeah.
I was selling baguettes for the soldiers.
Yeah, exactly.
After the war, he was afraid he'd never see her again, so he took her on a boat ride and asked her to marry him. He then says they were together 45 years, and honestly, the way that the actor was telling the story, I was like, it actually was a pretty touching moment.
Yeah.
Because you hear it in his voice that he knows what it's like to fall in love at a young age. He was obviously older than the girls were in the movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, he knows what it's like, and he was with their grandma, who he loved very much, and at one time or another earlier in the 90s, she passed away, and that's obviously that's affected him. Not that they try to show that that's affecting how he is as a person.
Yeah, it kind of pokes holes in my criticism, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I still have some criticism. Okay. No, it's not your fault. I didn't even think the fact that she may have died a little bit before they were even born.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were really young when she died.
It was a touching moment, though.
But my criticism initially was like, their response is like, whoa, I had no idea, when it should have been, we know. That's our grant. We've heard this story before.
Yeah.
But it's as if he's telling this story to them for the first time, but it's not like it's some nurse that he met and was like, she's the one that got away. It was their grandma.
Right.
But I still have criticism for that. But in my brain, I was like, surely their grandma's someone who they know is French and they've talked to before and they hung out with, but that would make sense if she kind of passed away when they were babies or toddlers or whatever. But the fact that this never came up is quite frankly absurd.
Yeah.
Especially if their grandpa is a French ambassador and there's no more conversation about any
there's
of his
no
dealings.
Pictures of grandma around.
Yeah, exactly. With a nice little mustache and eating a baguette. Dressed as a mime.
With a beret.
Yeah.
There's a serious lack of berets in this movie, I will say.
There's no mimes in this movie either. Mime is money.
Yeah, exactly.
As Billy Crystal said in Spinal Tap to a young Dana Carvey.
Exactly. So, yes, it's a pretty touching back to the movie. It's a pretty touching moment. The girls are like, wow, Grandpa, you've never told us that story. And he's like, that's because it isn't true. See you later, girls.
Your grandma was pure USA.
Yeah. He then stands up, does the robot, then the worm, then the splits, and walks out.
Yep.
Just kidding. Edward instead says how they haven't spent much time together in the past, but he'd like to change that. The girls ask Grandpa why the dinner that night is so important.
He tells them that there are certain people in the French government who thinks he isn't fit to be in a place of power and representation anymore. But he says he's still got some fight in him.
Fit as a fiddle. Yeah.
He then trips over a shoe, slams himself into the open door, does a cartwheel, and then crashes down the steps. Oh, and the gifts were dresses.
Yep. He's the regular Inspector Clouseau.
Yes. Yep. That night, the girls wear their new threads and walk down the steps. The grandpa introduces them to the French something or other, and he is charmed by Allie speaking French. He makes a crack about how she couldn't have learned that in the American school system, and Edward is like, I don't know where she learned it. I don't know them super well. I forgot I wrote that.
Forgot I wrote that.
Just remember now they were twins. Yeah. He then backflips out of the scene.
Yep.
Grandpa's
very spry in the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Henri shows up with the mini hamburgers on a platter, and the French guy nearly has a conniption for some reason.
Yeah.
Henri quickly covers and says,
Tell me none of you have eaten a hamburger before.
No, monsieur. These are not hamburgers. These are un bouffe de Mélanie, which bouffe is French for beef.
Oh, okay.
The French guy enjoys his burger that looks like a sausage patty, and we go to the next scene. The bigwigs are chatting away, chatter. And Edward puts a bucket on his head and runs into a wall like a battering ram. He then says, I'm crazy.
Further proving he's unfit to serve.
You want
to
tell me I'm not fit to serve? I'm crazy. I'm crazy, man. Don't mess with the USA.
Don't mess with the USA.
While that happens, the girls try to find the right time to bring up Jeremy's treatment plan. They give the butler the signal. Butler's Francois, and he brings out a glass of doo-doo brown water.
What is that French for?
Doo-doo brown water is universally known
tutu
as...
Tutu brown water.
Oh, yeah. That's doo-doo. This is doo-doo.
Oh, right, yeah.
Earlier in the movie, it's also established that like the girls are like, how come everyone drinks water from bottles? And Michelle's like, if you want to drink the water here, you will be, how do they say, talking to Ralph on the porcelain phone.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. You will be doing as you say, have
Montezuma's revenge.
Explosive diarrhea.
Dumb. Explosive diarrhea.
Mr. Black.
Explosive diarrhea.
Before he takes a sip, the French guy sees what he has and is livid. Edward takes a swig and says it tastes like... Edward then takes a swig and he's like, tastes like grandma's gravy.
I love the character change of grandpa. Yes.
JK.
He's a legit lunatic at this point. He's completely unhinged.
JK, enchanté. He is also livid and asks who's the saboteur. The girls take the credit and stand up and give their reasoning. They give a little history lesson on France's water systems, to which the French guy's wife goes, I didn't know that. To which I originally was like, what do you mean? You're French. Then I realized there's a ton of people in this country who don't know shit about American history.
I had literally the exact same riff and the exact same thought as to why my riff holds no water. Pun intended.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because we're twins.
Twins. We are twins.
We are twins.
But yes, I was like, how do you not know this? But I literally had the same thought of there's a ton of Americans that don't know shit about American history. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. Anyway, the girls then go on to recite facts and figures they got from Jeremy's treatment plan paper. They jinx each other in the middle of the presentation, and Grandpa says their names so they can continue. The French man says the girls are more persuasive than Edward, and he salutes them. The French guy says he'll get the government to sign on the Clean Water Treaty. And then says, what the fuck, everyone? So the doo-doo water, I guess.
Yeah.
After the party, the girls say goodbye to their new French friend and start to head upstairs. Grandpa asks them where they're going, and the twins say they still have to pack. Grandpa says he thought there was some dance they wanted to go to. And he's like, you know, and he starts slowly moving his arms up and down like a chicken and saying, pollywog, pollywog.
You know, the pollywog, the biggest dance hit of 1999.
Yeah. The girls are like, yeah, let's go. Grandpa says he'll take them, and the three get in a limo and take off. We then see a shot of a limo in front of a green screen imposed onto a night in Paris traffic.
Mm-hmm.
We hear the girls say something about sticking their bodies through the sunroof, and Grandpa's like, I shouldn't. It's not behavior befitting of an ambassador. He then lets loose and is like, oh, what the hey. And then he sticks his body out and goes, wahoo! And then
flies out.
Then he gets his head kicked off by someone hang gliding through the city. At the dance, some kids poorly mime playing their instruments on stage. The girls...
This is really bad. Yeah. I've seen some bad miming of playing the guitar,
mm-hmm.
and it was really bad.
Yeah. The girls walk in, and Michelle and Jean notice and run off stage with their music still playing. Before they can get to the girls see Jeremy and Brigitte there, and Brigitte tells them Jeremy wanted to chaperone one more time before he starts his new job back at the embassy. The boys then show up and ask the girls to dance. They all talk about what a great time they had, and they smooch. Which is IMDb trivia. This is the first
on-screen kiss.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. Olsen twins. Jeremy says he's in love with Brigitte after 2 days.
Yep.
The girls look sad, knowing they may never see their French beaux again. And the next morning, The next morning, Henri and Francois see the girls off, and Jeremy says they'll be late to the airport. Edward shows up and says he will take the girls. Outside the embassy, Jeremy and Brigitte hug the girls goodbye, and they thank Jeremy for everything. And it's a nice moment because I like the dynamic between the three of them. In the limo on the way to the airport, Grandpa says he's coming with them because he wants to spend some time with his totally radical family.
Does Jeremy know this?
Yes. Yeah, do their parents know this?
Yeah.
He then paintbrushes the limo driver, giving him a few good thwacks to the dome. The girls say, "Far out, man," at the same time, and Grandpa says, "Jinx!" We see more of the French sights, and Grandpa is pretending to not know their names, so it's a silent plane ride. And it's a sweet moment.
Grandpa turned into an I think you should leave character.
Exactly. Back in the States, Melanie and Allie are raving about all the places they could see. They spout off history facts of multiple countries and how there's a big world out there they want to see. The two junior high jack-offs from earlier ride by on their bicycles and ask if the girls want to get some froyo at the mall. They decline and say maybe some other time. Maybe in the next life.
Yeah.
They walk away excited about learning more and going on more adventures. Forgot I wrote this. They pass Grandpa on a diaper.
That makes it even better that you forgot you wrote.
So they walk away excited about learning more and going on more adventures. They pass Grandpa on a diaper passed out on the lawn. And that's passed out in Paris. I mean, passport to Paris.
I love the character change in Grandpa.
I wrote all that stuff. That was a new development this morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Like the Grandpa character change is a new development.
I really love that.
So that was Passport to Paris.
Yeah.
A nice movie.
Not
like,
terrible.
Like, you used the word innocuous.
I mean, I say like not earlier. Terrible. If you're an adult watching it, yeah, it's terrible.
It's okay.
It's cheesy, but it's completely inoffensive. Besides the subject matter being completely unrelatable to me, obviously, I don't have too many criticisms aside from what we kind of already said. You know, it basically rendered useless because it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something quote unquote like cute and fun for little / preteen girls, but kind of boring otherwise.
There are some parts. The whole movie to me as an adult is pretty much boring. But boring doesn't mean like, oh God, like this is awful and blah blah blah. It just was boring.
It's not like on a Bratz or something.
Jesus.
Bratz the
or,
movie.
Or it
what
was,
we did on Sucktastic. We did that movie on Sucktastic Cinema.
Which was a slog to get
constantly
through.
Pulling up the timeline of the movie. To be like, how much time do I have left in this movie?
Yeah.
It just kind of was it helped that it was only 87 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be like, well, if it's boring, at least it's only 87 minutes.
It's one of my favorite things, which, although, yes, it wasn't geared towards us, and even at the time it wasn't, it's one of my favorite things where it's a slice of time, a specific slice of time, 1999, you know, when they have the McDonald's bag, when they have the McDonald's cups. I vividly remember McDonald's is branding looking like the way it was.
Yep.
Like I mentioned earlier, the song they used a couple times when they're out with Brigitte and then when they're out with the boys for the first time, like seeing the sights.
Yeah.
I don't know who did the song. It was not a famous song, but it sounds very much like songs of that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was made to further bring in money for the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier how they looked, at least the blooper show, that kind of looked miserable, it looked like.
They definitely were not laughing off the lines they would mess up.
Nope.
There was a lot of like, what is it again?
Yeah.
And they said, what is it again? Like, or like, oh my gosh, kind of like whenever something would go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's when you look back on it now, that's clearly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I had a problem with the way they did the bloopers. Usually what makes bloopers fun
mm-hmm.
is like, someone will mess up
yeah.
and you hear the laughter of the people on set or mm-hmm. like their laughter.
Yeah.
The problem is the bloopers were at the end doing the whole freeze frame end credits thing, telling you who played who kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, the problem is the blooper would happen and then they would immediately freeze frame
mm-hmm.
without giving us the satisfaction of hearing like other
reaction.
People reacting
yeah,
and laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was and it felt really abrupt.
Mm.
Like the freeze frame felt
yeah.
really abrupt.
Yeah.
So they did a blooper reel, they just did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the two stars of the movie who it would have been nice to see them kind of being jovial and kind of mm-hmm. like, oh, you know,
yeah.
like I messed up, like, oh my gosh. Were clearly the two people on set that weren't having any
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. Another thing that I just remembered was on their way to the airport, they're like, we have all sorts of memories that will last a lifetime. And it's pretty much just a montage of scenes we had already watched.
Yep.
Which sometimes people put that in to get to the 90 minutes
yep.
to have more of a full-length feature, but they still didn't reach the 90 minutes.
No.
So maybe it's just a creative choice.
I guess so. Just a sobering reminder that the closest these two would get to having a normal childhood / like teenage experience was whenever they portrayed it on screen.
Yeah. Which makes watching these movies, you know, it's kind of sucks because
yeah.
to think it just like we said earlier, it's sad to think that they can't watch something like this. They can't even look at
no.
pictures at this time because it reminds them of a really painful, tumultuous,
controlled
time in their life,
yeah.
which is crazy because that was the height of their powers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just the juxtaposition between the characters on screen who are just like carefree and independent
mm-hmm.
and just like loving life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two are just really feel trapped kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. So hopefully you all enjoyed us kind of bringing down the mood there.
Yeah.
No, but because
bringing down the mood.
It's two very real people that
yeah.
we're talking about, that their movies, it won't be the last time we kind of are, you know, kind of add that little bit of like a dour tinge
yeah.
to it maybe.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that's real. That's
yeah.
what really they were going through.
Yep.
And we're just talking about a piece of entertainment that they made.
Yeah.
Whether we're riffing it or talking the good aspects of it. We got three more movies we're doing in
yep.
September here. Hopefully you all enjoyed this kind of a return to form with
yeah.
kind of the riffs
yeah.
a little bit. Hopefully you all remember either why you like it or why you didn't like riffs.
Yeah.
Who knows? We made it, you know, hopefully you just liked this episode. Thank
yeah.
you all for joining us. And until the next time.
Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.